She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight.
So extended, crazy, remix, sort of less than extended, mistended, distended abdomen remix of Elton John's Rocket Man. Yeah, sorry that I played Rocket Man, but the count came earlier than I was expecting it to, and that was the closest shortish song that was in the directory that I was looking at, because I was looking at a directory full of somebody else's music that I was hanging on to for a friend. Wasn't my bag. Dad. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck was up with that crazy feedback. I hope that
it wasn't feedback. It was the MP3 skipping.
Yeah, right. Maybe it was because I jostled it on the way up to get some whiskey.
Yeah.
Well, I had the whiskey here. I keep the whiskey at my desk. I went to get a glass.
I see.
Back in town. Back in town here with my favorite glass.
Pentagonal glass.
So yeah. Hey, I'm Jake, and I'm here on this grand old Thursday night. It's fucking hot. And you know who else is hot? Is hot stuff.
Woo! And,
it's
me.
Also it's fucking beardy. And you know who else is beardy? Riff.
Woo!
All right, how's your beard, Riff?
It's still on my face.
Did it miss us?
Sure.
All right. How can you tell when your beard misses things?
Yeah,
Riff?
I don't know.
Ask her.
You just get. Oh. Ah, there was that. Man, what's gotten into you? You never call people gay, and nobody ever calls Riff gay. This was like a...
double whammy.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, subversion of the normal order of things. So yeah, Hot Stuff and I were out of the country for a long time, and Riff. Riff doesn't have his radio KOL certification, nor would I think Riff be interested in doing a solo show.
Yeah, I don't know.
For 2 hours.
So was there just 2 hours of silence every Thursday in memoriam?
Really, there were 2 hours of weeping. Our fans just weeping and weeping.
Women throwing themselves into graves.
Yes.
Out of a sort of misapprehension of what silence meant on the radio. Yeah.
Yeah. The lamentations of the women. We didn't manage to crush any of our enemies while we were in Germany. I think that we're not going to talk so much about our trip to Europe on this show, maybe, because we haven't talked about video games in a long time. And also, we need to pre-record a show because I'm headed off to sunny San Diego. It's actually way sunnier here. Sunny as here. No, it's sunnier here.
Way sunnier.
It's friendlier.
It was 113 degrees Fahrenheit here today.
No, you got a sunburn because you'll never put on a fucking shirt.
What? You keep saying this thing that I don't think even exists.
Hey, Riff, is Hot Stuff a dude who constantly takes off his fucking shirt all the time for no reason?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, see? It's a quorum.
No, I was trying to play off the not having torso awareness.
Oh.
But you weren't
right,
game.
You were making a video game joke.
I was.
Damn it, I am not. Yeah. I am not up to speed. I am not in here. Right. It's been a long time since I was on a radio, except for 3 days ago when I was on a radio with Mr. Skullhead. It's been a long time since I was sitting here.
That's true. It's been a long time since I've had, like, good Mexican food and a margarita.
Yeah. 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 I need to augment that margarita with some whiskey here, right quick.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, the bottle and the glass are, as I've already discussed, much to the delight and interest of our listeners, right here on my desk. Right, you're motioning to me. You're doing this, you're motioning so that you don't have to say something on the radio that the listeners can hear, but I'm saying it for you.
That's cool.
So the listeners now know that I've been instructed to raise my my little mic.
Boom,
up
mic.
To my mouth. My boom.
Your boom.
Yeah. What have you been up to, Riff? What did you do while we were gone? Anything fun?
I played the Half-Life 2 and its two sequels.
Oh, you played all the way through all of them?
Yep.
Wow.
Pretty sweet.
I still kind of want to wait and play Half-Life 1.
Half-Life 1 is also good.
Yeah.
But I've not played it, and it's not yet in the Steam thing.
I really loved it when I played it the first time. It was really, like, just different than anything else that I had ever played. But then I tried to play it again several years later, and it was like, you know, this is just not as good. There are some games that I come back to, and the sort of...
The shine is not off the rose? Is that a mixed metaphor?
I think so. I don't know what the shine is normally off of, though. The shine is off the shoes?
I don't know.
The bloom? The bloom is off the rose, is what somebody would say.
The shine is off the... Yeah.
The Overlook Hotel.
There's a McKinema series on YouTube called Freeman's Mind.
Yeah.
That is pretty funny. That's basically just somebody playing through Half-Life 1, but narrating it as what Gordon Freeman is thinking throughout the entire thing.
Is it Gordon Freeman Dyson? No.
Just
Gordon Freeman.
Yeah.
And then Freeman Dyson.
Who's Freeman Dyson?
The guy,
a physicist.
Dyson spheres, yeah.
What's a Dyson sphere? Is it like a,
you clearly have not watched enough Star Trek.
That's true.
It is a sphere enclosing a star.
Oh, enclosing an entire. Okay, so I know about that. So it's like something that nobody will ever build.
Well, they did in Star Trek.
Who did?
Somebody.
People? Was it people?
Yeah.
Was it humans?
Well,
How would you get enough toothpicks to make a sphere around an entire star? I'm assuming it's made of toothpicks, right?
Yeah.
And like marshmallows holding them together.
It is kind of ridiculous to think of, at like an Earth-like distance from the sun, a sphere encompassing a star. But, yeah.
Wouldn't it get really hot inside there?
Well, you'd have to build some kind of like...
Big air conditioner.
I don't know, actually.
An air conditioner the size of Venus.
What's the purpose of it? Just to line the entire
collect all of the energy of the star.
Yeah. It is like a huge, huge, huge land area, potentially, right? Like, it's, you know.
Right, I mean, like,
could be neat.
Quadrillions of people.
You could have a smaller star. You don't have to do it at Earth distance. You could have a smaller star that is not as hot.
What happens when it goes supernova? And suddenly the entire inside of your sphere is on fire.
Maybe it'll just go mediocre nova.
Okay. Yeah. It could go subnova.
Yeah.
It could go rogue.
Bossa nova.
could go Casa Nova. Yeah. It could go Chevy Nova.
Oh, that's good.
That's kind of funny. Maybe we should work that into Space Trip 2, a star that's about to go Bossa Nova.
I'm going to make a note of that.
You know how to abbreviate it, don't you, Riff?
That's right.
A-N-U-S.
Oh, it's not F-A-R-T.
All of our running jokes, they're so old. We're so old.
Yeah, I was...
Why are we so old?
Well, we
keep... How did this shit happen? How did this happen?
We keep aging.
Damn it.
But in theory...
You were working on that.
In theory, we won't ever die.
We're young at heart.
Right.
Well, because we haven't been to Stavromula Beta yet.
No. Well, there's that. But there's also, the notion that technology will just continue to improve and our lifespans will just increase.
Oh, sure, yeah. No, that's probably going to happen.
It's happened
I mean,
so far.
Ray Kurzweil's counting on it.
Yeah.
It has happened so far. Or maybe it's one of those things like the quantum multiple worlds thing, right? Where the fact that you're still
alive,
the fact that you're still alive means that you keep traversing branches of it in which you stay alive.
You need some sort of device which decides things based on or not whether you are alive still. So
all right. So this is from the comic book thing.
Meanwhile,
Choose Your Own Adventure thing.
By
Meanwhile,
Jason Chiba, is that
Jason Chiba? It's by Jason Statham. Every three pages, you have to shock yourself, or it's like, book over, man. Book over. Now what the fuck are we going to do? We're in some real pretty shit now.
Is that the right name of the author? I don't remember.
Dude, I don't know. How would I know? You know what? You know what I've finally achieved an appreciation of is MS Paint Adventures, because Ruth bought a bound copy of the first storyline.
No, and of the first sixth of the storyline.
Okay.
It's volume one of six of the first one.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's nuts. Like, that book... is a sixth of...
That dude is prolific as shit.
Yeah.
Like, that guy makes MS Paint Adventures like shit makes stink.
I don't even know what
it's
you're
all
saying,
over him.
Man.
MS Paint Adventures is all over him like stink on shit. Do you think that he can tell the difference between MS Paint Adventures and Shinola?
That's a good question.
Anyway, I hated it online, and I think it's because I always tried to read it on a laptop where I was...
Having to scroll around.
Yeah, having to scroll. You know what I fucking hate? I was flipping out about this on the Monday show. I hate having to scroll.
Do you?
Reading two-column bullshit on a screen that's not tall enough. Ugh. Anyway.
Just flip your monitor sideways.
I was talking about this. I have a monitor.
I have these
monitors that flip sideways.
Yeah.
You gotta run some special software. Probably fucks everything else up.
You need an iPad. iPad is good for reading PDFs.
So I was looking at an iPad on your PDF. Or something like that. And it was not quite legible. What I need...
Not
I think
legible.
That's probably the fault of the
I
PDF.
Think it's, no, I think it's the fault of Jick's eyes.
Yeah.
He is worried that the iPhone 4, with its higher resolution screen, will be less legible to him than the current iPhone.
Yeah. No, I am worried about that.
Yeah. No,
how does that work?
I
he hates anti-aliasing.
I dislike anti-aliased text.
He wants it to be like a...
Jaggedy.
I basically want pixel art. I want pixel art. To say that the iPhone 4 has pixels so small that you can't see them is basically saying to me it has a thing that looks like something that you don't want to look at. I like pixels. In fact, I think if I could consume all of my media and do all of my work on an Atari 2600, I would.
You like newspapers, right? So you're not opposed to dots that are of arbitrarily small enough size.
Ever said or thought I like newspapers?
Are you sure you're not
thinking of William Randolph Hearst?
No, I'm just but like I'm talking.
You like William Randolph?
Newspapers are things.
Yes, yeah. I have expressed the resolution of William Randolph Hearst
printed on really crappy paper, so they have a really noticeable. They have to have like a really coarse grained screen when they are like shot on there. So like images, you can see the halftone on newsprint really well. Right.
Right.
That's why I brought them up. But you like reading like physical books, right? Which is,
I guess,
on paper.
I don't know. Sometimes I think books are boring.
I mean, there is. I guess ink is not half toned, or not half toned. Ink is not anti-aliased, right? So it's a sharp line, arbitrary resolution.
Yep. I mean, theoretically, the resolution is that of reality. Well, I mean, you can't have an atom that's half black ink and half white paper.
Michael Jackson's atoms were, right?
Were half black ink and half white paper.
Yeah.
That's weird. Michael Jackson was actually, he came from that Aha video.
Yes.
So he was one of those dudes. He was in the real world, but he was constantly having to beat himself against the wall of a hallway to figure out of reality.
Hit himself with a pipe wrench.
That explains all of his choreography.
That's true, yeah. He's just trying to find a hallway.
Yeah.
People were like, wow, that looks really cool. We should move him out of where there are no hallways and see what it looks like. And it turns out he's like
looks
using
like
some
zombie.
Crazy hooks in his shoes to defy gravity and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. God rest his soul.
It is, that was a little sad. He was the king of pop.
Yeah, what else was going to happen?
He was about to go on tour.
Yeah, whatever. He was already a parody of himself.
It's weird, because the guy actually had significant talent.
Oh, yeah.
And it is weird how far he went into, like, the kind of crazies,
I remember being made fun of at my old job. You know what? I think about all of the things that I got made fun of for at my old job and just conclude those guys were just assholes, Philistines. When I got into an argument with a guy.
I think about all the things I get made fun of at this job.
Yeah, and it turns out I'm just an asshole homophobe. And that's why I don't like you. We got into an argument about at where I made the claim that the gameplay of NetHack was more complicated than the gameplay of EverQuest, which it just is.
Yeah, I could see.
Not having played EverQuest, I can't argue one way or the other, but I imagine that's true.
Yeah, me either, but from what I've heard about EverQuest, yeah.
It was pretty simplistic. There were, like, many fewer options in EverQuest than there were in NetHack, which is, to some extent, due to a desire to appeal to a wider audience and also less development time, theoretically, probably, right?
Maybe. I mean, but we got hung up in this argument about... about where he was arguing that, like, no, come on, because there's the network layer and there's all the graphics processing stuff, and I'm like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fucking game logic.
Yeah.
The code for the game logic in NetHack is more complicated than, and it ended with one of my coworkers telling me that I knew next to nothing about programming. At which point I called him an asshole and sat down and didn't talk to him for a few days.
Unless you were phrasing it differently, that just their argument doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, I know. But I had made the argument, coming back around to what we were talking about, that I felt like Michael Jackson and Paul Simon were probably among the best songwriters alive.
Huh.
And I believe that, although not anymore, because
Joanna Newsom.
I would not. In terms of writing things that are, like, accessible, right? Oh. I wouldn't say that, like, Randy Newman is... I like Joanna Newsom. Somebody wrote in a question that asked me to list my five favorite Joanna Newsom songs, and yeah. I only like four Joanna Newsom songs. I realized that.
Wow.
No,
that's pretty funny, actually.
I'm meeting them out to myself very slowly.
Like, you only play a particular track of a CD until you get tired of it, and then you move on to the next?
Well, I listen to it until I have it memorized, and then I feel like I fully understand it.
Wow.
And I still have to figure out how to defeat Andy Samberg.
Good luck with that.
Because that's how it works, right? I just have to defeat him, and then she's mine.
You should get a guest spot on the Archer animated TV show.
I think that's the kind of thing that probably would not ever happen.
Yeah, but then you'd get a chance to, like, meet a bunch of cool people.
That's true. Like Chris Parnell.
Yeah.
I could use Chris Parnell to learn Andy Samberg's weaknesses.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's,
right?
I get it. I'm beginning to see your strategy.
Yeah. And if all else failed, you could just get with Aisha Taylor.
I could kidnap H. John Benjamin, tie him to a chair, and make him say stuff for my amusement. Not anything like
that. I would like to find fault with Riff's lack of enthusiasm for Archer.
Yeah, why does Riff not like Archer? Riff, what's your opinion on why Riff doesn't like Archer?
It sucked.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
You
have gone so far as to say that Archer sucks?
In compared to other things that I've watched that are much better.
I have only
watched the first three episodes of it.
I would like to note for our listening audience
better.
That last night I watched a portion of a Columbo episode.
Columbo is the shit.
That
man.
Riff was watching and enjoying with great fervor, and I'm like, okay, I don't understand you anymore at all, and maybe I never did.
I mean, I think Columbo is a cool guy. He solves crimes and
Columbo is a cool guy, and the idea of Columbo and like you know having sort of a general familiarity with the show is worth some you know street cred you know or whatever. But actually going back and watching full episodes of it, it was pretty bad.
It's a great show.
It was pretty bad.
There's one with...
Stephen Bochco wrote the episode that we watched.
What's his name? Who's that actor that you love the shit out of?
Me?
Yeah. Dean Stockwell.
Oh, yeah, cool.
He was in one the other day. He was only in it for like 10 minutes, though, because he was the victim.
Dean Stockwell is a national treasure.
Yeah. But, yeah, I just... I don't feel like there's a single likable character in Archer, and in the three episodes we watched, there were some moments that were funny, but for the most part, it just the jokes fell kind of flat.
Do you have to identify with a character in a show to enjoy it?
Are you talking to me?
I'm just looking in your general directions.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I can't think of who in that show that I identify with.
Yeah, I don't identify with any of the characters, but that's okay.
I mean, certainly people express opinions that I identify with.
It's very... In some ways, it reminds me of Arrested Development, but without the main character...
Without any sympathetic characters, right? Yeah. Like, because, you know, Michael Bluth is at least, like, a guy you can like.
Yeah. And, like... He is just surrounded by a bunch of idiots, and like everybody in Archer is kind of stupid in one way or another, right? Like,
do you think they're stupid, or do you just think that they're assholes?
A combination
depends
of
on
both.
The character. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, you didn't like Malcolm in the Middle, Hot Stuff, because it was all just people yelling.
Yeah. I really didn't like that. You know,
but you don't mind that in Archer, everyone is just being mean to each other all the time.
No, because it's funny.
Right.
They're mean in a funny way.
Right.
Right. Like, I didn't particularly like Seinfeld, which was people kind of being mean to each other in just kind of a cruel way.
Yeah, I also had that problem with Seinfeld.
You know? Also they're animated, so it's a lot less, I'm a lot less inclined to care.
But H. John Benjamin, Riff.
He is an awesome voice. I don't think that can make the entirety of the show for me.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I
that.
Guess if it was a so show surprising. Where he read the phone book, I think I probably would not watch
I
it.
I think it would be. So I think it would be one of those things that was funny for the first couple names, where you're like, oh, he's reading the phone book, and then it would get really boring, and then it would get funny again. And
when
then
he got to
not
like the Lipschitz section,
no, yeah, and then eventually he would get to the Lipschitz, and then it would get funny again.
Right.
I mean, there's probably more funny names than that. I'll bet that every 150th name in the phone book is kind of funny. There's a lot of dudes named Dick. Right, and that's always going to be funny. Like, you know, Dick Horseshoe. Because that's a common last name. Horseshoe. And then you can think about the concept of a Dick Horseshoe. Like, hammering a piece of iron onto the end of your dick.
Oh, I was imagining...
Like a curve.
I was imagining it was a...
A shoe for a dick horse.
I was imagining that it was a shoe a horseshoe that you used to play the game of horseshoes using dicks as the posts.
Oh. See, I told you the phone book was funny.
Yeah.
We're having a good time.
We got some good mileage
jokes right now. video games. I've been playing a lot of Words with Friends. Speaking of funny things that happen in video games, such as the phone book, I was playing a game which started out with the word fudge, and then the woman that I was playing with played the word butt, and then I responded by playing the word butt. I laughed and laughed. There was something else that happened. I think milk came out later. So, like, a board with both milk and fudge on it is funny. And just butt twice in a...
Butt.
They were abutting.
I got some problems.
I think it's funny that you play words based on their comedic value and not so much their point value.
Oh, yeah, well, in that case, I was like, oh, wait a minute, I could also play butt, even though, you know, I could also probably play butter somewhere else or whatever, you know. Butter would potentially have been worth more points. Scrabble's fun. I've been I read a thing on Touch Arcade today where they were talking about the Words with Friends app. Fucking bug, get out of my whiskey. I'm sure he didn't drink much, but every little bit counts, hot stuff. This is expensive shit. It was $40. You know.
Maker's Mark is kind of expensive.
Anyway, the developers of Words with Friends said, according to their metrics, the average person who plays Words with Friends plays it for an hour and a half a day.
Huh.
Which seems like a lot for the average.
I mean, there might be people that play it 8 hours a day.
Oh, sure, yeah. No, I mean, there are undoubtedly people who play it 8 hours a day. I mean, I would say that I, maybe in the number of games that I have going, spend, like in the last 3 or 4 days, I have spent maybe a half an hour a day playing it. So I'm not bringing the average down too much. It's fun. It's just fucking Scrabble. I honestly kind of don't know how I feel about...
Like the board has the double and triple word scores and stuff?
I don't think they're configured in exactly the same way, but it's pretty similar.
Wow.
I also don't know if the point values on the letters are the same. I don't know how different they had to make it from Scrabble before they got around the sort of copyright stuff.
Yeah.
I'm torn in how I feel about it, right? Because I, with games, I am extra sensitive about intellectual property issues, kind of, you know? Like, I want people to get paid for their efforts. I think the guy that invented Scrabble's dead. Like, and it's the kind of thing that's old enough and like... It's such an obvious thing. Like, I wouldn't want, you know, a platform game with jumping in it to get sued by Nintendo because, you know, we invented that, which they totally didn't. But I wonder what the first... Like, I don't think that Pitfall was actually the first platformer.
Might have been Donkey Kong.
Was Donkey Kong prior to Pitfall?
I think so.
I think it was.
Yeah, because that was an arcade machine that existed before home consoles existed.
Right.
I could be wrong, though.
I saw some series of videos linked on Metafilter that was a guy playing every NES game. It was like a Let's Play, except he was playing through every NES game in chronological order.
And all
order.
The Famicom ones as well?
I don't know.
Was it that guy?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not entirely sure. You know, he wasn't playing them exhaustively.
This is funny, actually.
What's that?
The guy who invented Scrabble?
Mm-hmm.
His last name is Butts.
Yay!
See? How's it spelled?
B-U-T-T-S.
Wow.
Yeah. Alfred Mosher Butts. Or Mosher. Mosher Butts. Yeah, he died in 93.
Yeah. So, you know, what does that mean? It kind of bothers me that these guys have probably made millions of dollars, like, by basically just porting a game to social networks, right? And it's like, should that bother me? I'm glad that it exists, and I bet fucking Hasbro would have done a terrible job of it, left to their own devices.
Yeah.
I mean, is it Hasbro? That I don't know.
Hasbro does indeed own Scrabble.
Cool story, Hasbro. Yeah, man. So we have not done a radio show since the June Item of the Month came out. It's a bold new strategy I'm pursuing with the company. It used to be that we would spend the entirety of May working on the June Item of the Month. Now I've decided we're going to spend the entirety of May and the entirety of June working on the June Item of the Month.
You've been working really hard on
Medioid
for 4 or 5 days in a row now.
I worked on it some while we were in Prague. I was like,
that was a good evening when you, like, were doing stuff and we were talking about the various ways that it could.
Yeah, I think that happen. I'll spoil since I'm basically sure that I'm going to release it. The first version of Medioid that I did was boring, and I decided that I didn't want anyone to ever see it ever, so I set it on fire and threw it in the toilet.
Threw it in the gasoline hole.
Space toilet.
Gasoline hole?
Yeah, you know, some place you want to throw a fire.
That hole out back.
Full of gasoline.
Gasoline and
fire.
Oh,
that one, right.
Yeah.
Don't you wonder why your car never starts?
Your star never carts? Oh, man. So I'll get back to Medioid in a second. But I just want to be curmudgeonly and piss and moan for a minute. So one of the things that I did when I got back from Germany was order everything on Amazon.
It's like a riff.
I'd been meaning to buy a bunch of stuff, and so I did. One of the things that I bought was Super Mario Galaxy 2. And it made me nostalgic for the days of my youth when if I wanted to play a video game, what I did was I took the video game and I inserted it into the video game console, and then I pushed a button, and then I was playing the video game. Because what happened
to
me?
Fuck around with all these menus and shit.
What happened to me when I tried to play Super Mario Galaxy 2 is that I spent 20 minutes fucking around, and I still have never played Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Wow.
Because you put it in, and it's like because I turn on my Wii every fucking 6 months. It was like some system update that took forever to install. And then when I finally went to play it, all the batteries in all the controllers were dead, and I didn't have, apparently, any AA batteries in the drawer that weren't also dead. Apparently, at some point in the last couple of years, I've decided that there's a drawer in my house that I've designated for dead batteries. Either that or...
That's a terrible drawer to have.
I know. Well, like, I feel like every once in a while there'll be, like, a bird in the yard, and I need something heavy to throw at it. So I'll keep those. Like, they're right next to the window.
The birds?
No, the batteries.
Okay.
Well, the birds.
The birds, I guess.
No, they're close enough that I can throw the batteries at the birds out the window. Then my pool fills up with dead batteries. Although they're not quite dead, because if you swim down close to them, it's kind of like... Bleh. Yeah, it's cool. Which, that's just a noise I make when I see a really cool battery. I'm not actually getting shocked. Anyway, so Medioid, which I might release tomorrow, I guess.
It's close to being ready.
Yeah, all the art's done. It's playable. It's finishable. There's a lot of text left to write. I need to make it funny. But I decided to just go. So I made this initial thing that was just like kind of a Metroid themed like one off puzzle. When we didn't really know what the June Item of the Month was going to be like.
It was like the first game that got implemented at all. Right?
Yeah, because we were basically
kind of
trying
like the same
to do
kind
like
of thing as Dungeon Fist wasn't it?
Yeah, we were trying to, you know, initially we had thought, well, we'll just do like, you know, things that are like tributes to video games as KOL content, but then we just made a bunch of entire video games that didn't really have anything to do with KOL at all, which was super fun. It's been really satisfying for me from a creative standpoint to just work on some little self-contained things that I can just do. Riff, I feel like you had fun making Demon Star, didn't you?
Yeah.
Dungeon Fist was kind of, I feel like, just more of the same, right? Like, there was a little more math and a little more work involved in the design than there often is in KOL content, because you didn't have the, like, you know, fight mechanic bringing in all kinds of extra variety for you. But, my initial code up of Medioid, which was done up until the, like, boss fight, it was basically just a choice maze. The art was cool, and it was like basically traversing this little Metroid level and getting some power ups and
predefined
finding
Metroid
some
level,
monsters. Predefined,
yeah.
And you the puzzle was basically going to be to do
order
the things in the right order, yeah, to have enough energy and enough missiles by the time you got to Mother Brain to be able to kill her and win the game. But then, especially after I did Space Trip, I was like, you know, this Metroid thing could be better. So what I decided.
It's good that you decided that, because that's basically precisely what Dungeon Fist is.
But Dungeon Fist has a lot more going on.
Really?
Yeah.
Than his original.
Yeah, my original Metroid thing, the Medioid, because it's not Metroid. Copyright lawyers, pay attention. There were not like a lot of moves. You know, there were 12 or 13 rooms on the grid that I put together, and anyway. So I had made all these sprites, basically, because I put together all the graphics for Medioid as though it was sprite graphics. And then while I was in Europe, I was like, you know, I could probably do something a little more ambitious and a little more interesting with these. So what it turned into was a turn-based, Metroid-themed dungeon crawl with procedurally generated levels, which I am pretty proud of, pretty excited about. I'm not sure still how fun it is. And I keep saying that, and I keep worrying about it.
People seem to think it's fun.
Yeah. It doesn't have the, like, gushing burst of dev enthusiasm that Space Trip got.
Well.
And I feel like it was less work than Space Trip, but it was harder work than Space Trip, which I think doesn't necessarily equate to a more enjoyable end experience for the user. That's what I think. Anyway, it got me thinking a lot. It got, like, so we had talked a long time ago when Xenophobe still worked here about a thing that we kept referring to as the cave generator, which was a way of, like, procedurally generating little dungeons to crawl. And we kept getting hung up on, like, how we were going to store it and stuff, which seems like a really weird thing to get hung up on now. And I don't know if that's because we've just sort of refined our techniques for doing complicated things, and so there was this sort of perfect storm of back-end updates that made this the games in the Game Grid Arcade stuff possible, where the Choice Adventure script got really sophisticated in terms of its ability to just, like, present arbitrary interfaces for things and have arbitrary code executing. So, like, the Choice Adventure script can now do almost anything that any script does in KOL. I mean, the fight script, notwithstanding. We could replace almost everything in KOL with a Choice Adventure now. You know, the Mystic, for instance, the like, stores could be a choice, you know, which they shouldn't be.
It would be weird if they were.
Yeah, because some stuff needs to be generalized, needs to have its own database tables. But
would you like to buy this hammer? Yes, no. Would you like to buy this harmonica? Yes, no.
Wow. Those were in alphabetical order, too.
And pretty close to each other, yeah. What's weird is you were just looking at objects on your desk.
Yeah. Is. Well, I mean, you know, his plan after the show is to smash some harmonicas.
I've got a new hammer, harmonica hammering hobby.
To a man with a hammer, every harmonica looks like a nail. That's what my great-granddad used to say.
Of course, he was insane.
That's true. That is true. He thought everything was a harmonica. Which is why he got put in that sick hole in the first place. The sick hole.
The gasoline hole.
They called the asylum. Yeah, that was next to the gas hole. There was a tire fire somewhere, too.
Don't be such a gas hole.
Yeah. It's funnier to call somebody a gut hole than a gas hole, though.
A gut hole?
Yes. Your belly button is kind of your gut hole. It's like a hole in your gut.
Yeah.
It doesn't go anywhere.
Used to.
Does a hole have to go somewhere? Maybe it's your gut divot.
Yeah, I mean, that gas hole doesn't go anywhere.
Goes to the moon.
A rat hole doesn't. I mean, a rat hole goes into the walls, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, does a hole necessarily imply? I mean, clearly, like, a hole in the ground is not through the earth.
Right. Like, does this a grave go anywhere?
No.
I mean, it's going. You know, it's going 1,000 miles an hour in a circle. It's going even faster than that around the sun. It's going even faster than that away from the center of the universe. So everything kind of goes somewhere.
What if it is? What if we are the center of the universe and everything is just going away from us?
That's probably true. Yeah, maybe wherever you are is the center of the universe. Perception. Perception defines reality, man. So yeah, Medioid is that crazy shit, and it's coming out maybe tomorrow, maybe. Oh, man, you know what's probably going to happen tonight? Is a 15 minutes shorter rollover.
Yeah, if the game comes back.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. There are certain things that if they're not going to work, they're not going to work, but they're all things on our end, like, that the players won't notice.
Right.
It is literally just, I've commented out a thing that takes 15 minutes that we don't need to do anymore. There's some more stuff in the pipe, which could potentially cut another 15 minutes off of rollover starting tomorrow or the next day. I don't want to make any promises about C.D. Moyer's time.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Doesnn't have anything to do with the clusterfuck last night. Here's a story about...
That was so awful.
Boy, you know what? It wasn't awful for me, because what I did was I went climbing, and then I got drunk, and then I went home and went to sleep.
Yeah.
That was my part in last night's ministrations.
I went climbing, didn't really get drunk. fell asleep for a little while and then got up at the sort of tail end of it and was trying to deal with it for a couple
I was
hours.
Sitting here and listening to Gordon Gessie Joe podcasts doing cross stitchery, and I looked up at my screen around 2:30 in the morning and noticed that the kingdom was still down and went, huh.
Yeah. I heard that the lead singer of the Violent Femmes invented a version of an ancient Asian board game that's actually played with this stuff that you use to like seal paintings called the Gordon Gesso Go.
Wow.
Because his name's Gordon. I don't actually know what gesso is, but I think it's something like that, right? It's like...
Maybe.
Yeah, I think that's... I don't remember.
Anyway, for those of you who don't understand what that's a play on, it's the fabulous comedic podcast Jordan Jesse Go, which is cool. available on the internet at jordanjessego.com. I don't know what Gordon Gano Gesso Go is available on the internet at. Maybe Riff will put it on his blog. Available on the internet at minimumsafedistance.org. What do you had on your blog lately, Riff?
A few different YouTube videos were the last few things.
Cool.
YouTube video.
So you're a content aggregator, not a content producer.
Yeah, I am. Exactly. Recently, there's a pretty funny video of one of those Sherlock Holmes games, Sherlock Holmes Nemesis. Apparently, they decided they didn't want to animate Watson in any way.
Right.
So it's a third person, first person game. You're moving around with the WASD controls. But Watson is supposed to always be nearby so that you can talk to him, but he doesn't move. So it's this incredibly frightening effect, like the topiary animals in the novel of The Shining, where you'll see him across the room and then turn around and then turn back and he'll be 10 feet closer. And somebody made this... a YouTube video of this set to horror movie music of looking around and then looking back and he's right there and they run away and turn a corner and he's right there. And
they were talking about that on the Idle Thumbs podcast, I think.
Yeah, that's where I heard about it.
Hot stuff still in August of 2008?
2009.
Oh, you're catching up. Good job, buddy.
Yeah.
What you need is a hobby like cross stitching.
Like cross stitching scenes from Super Metro.
I mean, yeah. You know,
where you fuck up and have to redo 24 hours.
I go to the gym and I'm there for like 2 hours and I listen to a bunch of stuff. And I've started listening to stuff that is not as interesting at 2x speed because it is just not bad. Like the stuff that is not all that exciting to listen to at 2x speed actually makes it kind of reasonable.
So like Science Friday.
I've stopped listening to Science Friday.
Why do you listen to stuff that's not exciting to listen to?
Well, because you never know. That's the thing. Like, so like a lot of the Adam Carolla podcasts, I'm still listening to all of those. And occasionally he has a guest on that I just have never heard of before that is really interesting.
Right.
But you don't know until, you know, at least 15, 20 minutes into the thing. And then by that point, you've sort of listened to half of it.
So you might as well waste another 15 or 20 minutes of your life listening to some shit that you don't care about at all?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, like, a weird way of looking at things, hot stuff.
And then... I've unfortunately discovered like Radiolab, which I'm getting really excited about because it's kind of everything that I wished Science Friday was. It's science, but
so you wish that Science Friday was more like sort of schizophrenically edited.
It's not. I don't
find it schizophrenic. You wish that it was really frenetic.
It's not that bad.
Yeah,
it really is not.
You wish that the volume differentials from moment to moment were huge, so that it's constantly startling you.
In any case, it's pretty cool.
These are the things that I like, you know. I mean, Jada Bumrad is a pretty cool guy. I think Radiolab is a
cool
guy.
It is a good name.
Yeah, Jada Bumrad. Yeah.
And I don't. The other, there's like a guy that also co-hosted that sounds like one of the Car Talk guys, but isn't.
Is a Bumrad? No, a bum is lame.
Yeah. Yeah, but like the science that they cover is really interesting. Like they pick really interesting topics, and then they like. Cover them in an interesting way.
No, his
like,
speech at Max FunCon was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like he actually resolved anything in that speech.
No, but it was fun to watch.
It was.
You know.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it's fun to get a massage without a happy ending.
Did you ever listen to that GDC talk, the Secret of Psalm 42?
No, I don't think I did.
I have not listened to it. I've only read it on Brian Moriarty's website.
There's a recording of it.
Is there?
Yeah, it's weird. It has a harpsichord thing playing throughout the entire thing, which is the Bach piece that he's talking about, and he has it. He times it such that he ends his talk with the last strains of it, which is really cool.
Wow, we should link people to that in this newfangled radio thread that I added, because the Secret of Psalm 42 is really cool.
It is. It's sort of this meandering and fascinating talk that I think is really cool. It talks about
even before that, Brian Moriarty was one of my favorite people, and now he's just especially one of my favorite people.
And it was because it was a talk at GDC. I don't know if it was like a keynote speech or something like that, because it must have been something like that, because it wasn't really about anything in particular. And it was like this, the point of it was kind of subtle in that context. It's kind of like saying the best and most interesting sort of secrets are the ones that are just right in front of you, almost. And instead of trying to hide stuff in games, try to make really cool stuff that's just right there.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's neat. It's a really neat talk.
We'll have to listen.
Fucking
to
Loom.
It's Brian Moriarty giving the talk.
Yeah, yeah. I think I put a copy of it on the network drive.
Jenny got me his autograph at PAX East.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Wow, I didn't get Brian Moriarty's autograph from PAX East.
Yeah, we didn't get to hang out with the Idle Thumbs guys at PAX East, because we didn't go to PAX East.
We should have gone to PAX East. What were we doing?
Nothing.
We were doing nothing.
We were
literally doing nothing?
Nothing.
We just didn't want to. I probably didn't want to get on a fucking airplane.
Yeah, you don't like flying across the country.
Fucking airplanes,
yeah,
man.
That's basically why I didn't go. I was like, Jenny, here's my copy of the Encyclopedia for Bozica from Beyond Zork. Why don't you take that with you and get Moriarty to sign it?
He should become a professor.
Yeah.
He should be.
Yeah. I'd take his course. I'd take it all. So, last night, here was our plan. Because we got this new backup software. Let's rewind. Most of the tables in KOL's database are MyISIM in format, which is a very fast read format. It's fairly slow to write, and it's very good for aggregating data out of.
So you can generate reports.
We can do reporting and stuff on it. However, MyISIM does not support row-level locking, and so if we have a big table that is very frequently accessed and is MyISIM, then it creates a lot of latency in the game because every read is having to wait out every write for locks. Even if they're touching rows, Joe's inventory shouldn't be affected by Bob's inventory, but if it's a MyISIM table, then Joe has to wait to see what's in his sack until Bob is done putting stuff in Bob's sack. Long time ago, we switched the inventory table over to InnoDB, which is a table format that does support row-level locking, and it was a huge performance boost. The problem with it is that the way that we used to back up the database required it would only back up MyISIM tables. And so anything that was an InnoDB table, we had to make a copy of during rollover that was MyISIM, or we had to dump it out to another format, and it was a big pain in the ass.
And then reconstruct the MyISIM.
Yeah, and then reconstruct it if we had to restore it, right? We never have. Ever since we've actually been doing daily backups, nothing has ever happened that's required us to need them. Except I guess there was a problem.
We've had a couple. We've done a couple of things.
Anyway, we got this new backup software that actually backs up InnoDB tables as well as MyISIM tables, so we don't need to do that anymore. That is the thing that is taking the time off of rollover tonight, is no longer making a MyISIM copy of the inventory table, which just the more players we got, and especially after we stopped deleting old accounts, just the inventory table just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and so that process was taking longer and longer until that accounted for fully 15 minutes of rollover. So, now that we have the freedom to convert whatever tables we want from MyISIM to InnoDB, we decided, let's take the most contentious table, the table that ends up waiting out locks the most, which is the flags table, and convert that to InnoDB. And so CDMoyer did a test run, and it took a couple hours. And that was like while the database was up. It was like we converted a copy of it, and it took like 2 hours while the database was under full load of people playing the game. So we're like, well, maybe this will only take like an hour if there's nobody using the database, so we can do more than one table, you know. 3 hours in, when it was less than halfway done, CDMoyer realized that in order for this process to work, in order for the conversion process to work, nothing needs to be accessing the table at the time. So we were like, well, rollover. Nothing will be accessing the table at the time. Except that what he forgot about was that the SIG generator that he wrote actually hit the flag table because of the weird privacy settings thing that we had to add to do that, that was stored in the flag table. And because it was long rollover, there were five times as many people on the forums as usual, and so the SIG generator was generating five times as much traffic as usual. So those crashed all the web servers, because all of those were hammering on the database, waiting out this like basically infinite lock on the table while it was being converted. So like Geff Intertron's pager kept going off, and he was freaking out, and I got a bunch of text messages from him in the middle of the night that were like, what the fuck, man? What's going on?
So independently, he then wrote a script to restart Apache every 5 minutes on every web server.
Right, which then just regenerated all of the queries again.
Yeah.
Because he didn't know what was going on. We forgot to tell him that what we were doing, because we didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal. We didn't think that it would cause any problems that would require his intervention.
Right.
So yeah, so then, like, basically, every Apache process on every web server would get locked trying to serve a SIG generator request, sit there until Apache got restarted. Then the web server would serve a few more requests so some people could get the maintenance page to load every once in a while. But then eventually, it would get hung up trying to serve another SIG generator request. CDMoyer halted the conversion process because it was just going to take forever. And we didn't know until much later what was causing this, right? We didn't reconstruct this until after we started looking at the logs after it was all done.
Everything was just going wrong.
And yeah.
It wasn't clear what was happening.
And stuff was taking, you know, what appeared to be three or four times as long as we were expecting it to. So he stopped the conversion, which then the database server had to kind of clean up after itself.
So this is like 2 a.m.
Yeah,
his
like
time.
2 a.m. And then it was what, by like 5, 4?
His time it was 7. It was all over at 7:30 his time.
7:30 his time, which was like 4:30 here, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So then the database server spent another 2.5 hours cleaning up all of the hung requests, which I don't exactly understand what it was doing. I don't really understand
what needs
to happen there.
Because if those have all failed, why?
You know, sometimes when your computer's thinking and the hard drive's just grinding. That's what I imagine was going on in the database server for 2.5 hours. Accomplished fucking nothing. Was down and really stressful for CDMoyer. Probably a lot of other people were.
I was kind of stressed out,
freaking out too. I was asleep. Sleeping like a baby. Rank has its privileges, buddy.
Yep.
You should be in charge at some point.
Sure.
Be in charge of something. Then you'd be like, I don't have to care about this at all.
Yeah, that's usually how it works.
I don't ever stress about KOL or the company ever, even a little bit.
Yep.
I'm like fucking just playing golf all day, wearing a sweater. I don't know why wearing a sweater is the thing I think of. You know, like sort of
Argyle, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Argyle pants.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, look at me. I'm like an off-duty doctor.
Argyle tattoos.
Wearing a sweater. I'm wearing sweater pants.
I guess, do people get like their feet tattooed to look like Argyle socks ever?
I doubt it.
That'd be kind of cool.
But then you'd never, like, just so you wouldn't have to wear socks?
Yeah.
But you don't want to wear, like, patent leather shoes with no socks.
But it would be funny.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
I don't know if it's funny enough to get a tattoo.
People have gotten dumber tattoos.
What if you got fingerless gloves tattooed onto your hands?
Ooh. Yeah?
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah?
What if you just drew them on there with a Sharpie? In fact, what if I just drew them on there with a Sharpie while you were asleep?
What about like a ski mask tattoo?
Yeah, I could draw a ski mask on you with a Sharpie while you're asleep, yeah. And maybe like a little sign on your forehead that says, I heart cock. Because that's what you do when somebody's asleep, right? You write, I heart cock on their forehead with a Sharpie.
I saw somebody had a sticker that said, I, and then there was a blank space, organ donation, which I thought was kind of funny.
Ah, haha, that is funny.
Yeah.
We saw a girl with a shirt that said, "If rugby was easy, it would be called your mom."
Yeah.
She looked like a rugby player.
Yes, she did.
I saw her making out with some other girl.
And then tackle her.
Yeah. I didn't actually see that.
That's just hot.
So yeah, that was what happened yesterday. Orson Scott Card is a dyke.
Do people know about that?
I don't know.
Hey Ash, what you playing?
Hey Ash, what you playing? These videos on Destructoid. It's a website. It's got some stuff.
It's pretty funny.
You should be writing down the stuff that we need to link to in the thing. Man, just do it.
I don't have a writing implement. I'm not in my own space
in the
here.
Office. I think you'll figure something out. Here, use one of Roy's paintbrushes. Turn on his monitor, change the background to solid white, and paint on the screen.
All right, so
he'll know about them too.
We got to do
the secret of Psalm 42. We got to do. Hey Ash, what's your plan?
Is it 42? I think it's 42.
Maybe not 46. Secret of Palm 46. All right, so let's see. I'll look at the forum thread first. Axis Shadowbane asked if the Jack in the Box could be made auto-sellable. So, the reason that the Jack in the Box is not auto-sellable is because the inability to auto-sell things is often how we will queue things as being important, so that people don't accidentally get rid of them. We thought of the Jack in the Box not as a thing that would piss off speed ascenders, because it's not auto-sellable, but as a thing that would excite people because they got the rare thing out of the thing. That's probably not true anymore. So is there any reason that the Jack in the Box can't have an auto-sell value?
No, there isn't.
Okay, well, let's look at the Jack in the Box. It does have an auto-sell value.
Does it now?
You know, yeah, but I did this at some point, but I forgot to click this box right here in
that's
the item
funny.
Spindler. It makes it so you can actually auto-sell it. All right! Yeah, making changes, updating the game. the Jack in the Box is now auto-sellable. Thank you, Axis Shadowbane, for reminding me to do that. Nevhar says, in relation to the question about a fair visiting KOL from a previous radio show, I think that was Hester Prynne that sent that in, I would love to see something done with a peaceful meadow post-war. Maybe a Renaissance fair could set up there, or spoof the SCA and their big annual Pensic event. The thing that I like about their Pensic event is that it is an anagram of the North Carolina penis event. That's the thing I like about it. I think that what would probably happen if we were to put something in a peaceful meadow is a gathering of the Juggalos. That's the only thing I can imagine that is sort of like cool enough
to go in a meadow
to memorialize in that meadow. Did I ever put any grass or flowers or anything in there, or is it just a big blank white space still?
I have no idea.
Let me see.
Hey, are you post-war?
I always meant to draw some flowers and shit.
Nope, it is just a big blank space that says a peaceful meadow in the middle.
Cool. It's a cool meadow.
Dude.
You can have a picnic. Cool meadow, bro. Ms. Kitty says, new clan dungeon. Any info? Any info at all? We're really far out from it. Like,
there's several of them conceived.
Yeah. The one that I decided that I wanted to do next, the big one that I decided that I wanted to do next, there's a lot of the sort of fundamental ideas have been decided. There's a lot of things that probably could be worked on. It's not well, I guess there's placeholder zones in.
Yeah.
Right, because I actually coded all that up at the same time as I was coding the slime tube, because it was easier to do everything twice
than
to do
everything
once. It has a chat channel. And then, yeah, it does have its own chat channel already.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't let that fool you. It's not close.
Well, it depends. It depends on how big you... Because it is a little different than the other clan dungeons in that it will be expandable.
Yeah, it is meant to be expandable. It was meant to be a kind of a placeholder for one-off slime tube thing style.
Because that's what we need is a place that we can put yet more content.
Whatever. Well, it would be neat if we had a good idea for something that would go into a clan dungeon, to just be able to whip out a clan dungeon pretty quick. Because I feel like, especially if it was part of a larger context, and we didn't need it to be... Like, I feel like we thought that the slime tube needed to have some interesting stuff going on. Like, there needed to be an interesting speed gimmick or whatever. If we were designing a little branch of a clan dungeon that, you know, it wouldn't have to be any more interesting in and of itself than, like, one of the branches of Hobopolis, mm-hmm. right? Just some mobs, some encounters that, you know, maybe kill a bunch of them at once, maybe unlock some new drops, maybe do whatever, right? And then a boss, and then the boss has a series of things that he drops that everybody wants, and then you're done, right? No, because we don't have leaderboards for Burn Barrel Boulevard, right?
Correct.
So, like, we could just put something simple in to this thing.
Sure.
Thematically, it's kind of wherever we want to go with it, too.
That's true.
I was thinking about this a little bit. It is less suited than Hobopolis to the kind of, like, funny random content generation to some extent. We figured out some ways to incorporate quite a bit of that. I don't know. I probably overstate the extent to which that's why people like Hobopolis.
I think the funny names is funny. Is worth.
You think the funny names are funny?
Yeah.
Do you think that obvious observations are obvious?
Yeah.
Do you think that tautological statements are tautological?
Yeah.
Long cat is long.
Royal Tonberry says, have you decided what the Traveling Trader Seal Clubber skill will be? And if not, would you consider making it Lunge Smack? That'd make a huge number of people happy. I'm guessing that a huge number of people are going to be happy anyway. Maybe a small number of people.
It isn't that.
I don't know. Yeah, it's not that. But we have decided what it is.
Yeah.
We know.
It was decided back in January.
Back in January, yeah. We totally actually pulled off some of what we were trying to do. I had this grand design in January, and it was like, all right, we're going to have 12 Traveling Trader items, or 15, or 18, or however
15
many.
15 was our goal.
And 12 Uncle P's maps.
We got done. I think 12, by the end of 12 of the Traveling Trader things were done. And like 2 or 3 were still sort of sitting. I think 2 or 3 are still like 80% complete and not finished yet.
We also did all the Brico stuff while we were in San Francisco there. And also we did an entire Hobopolis-sized clan dungeon that I decided I didn't like, so I deleted it all.
And then in February, we were coming up with 24...
24 Uncle P's maps.
24 Uncle P's maps.
Yeah.
Which Riff is still not finished.
Yeah, Riff still hasn't proposed his six.
Am I still behind on the?
Yes. Do you not even see?
That is kind of funny. When you log in,
every it says time. It, like, the top of your screen.
It is.
Proposed six little peas maps. Yeah. Just like, I think you've just trained yourself to ignore direction.
I think I just don't see it anymore.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's I wish I could figure out what to do about that. Blink tags. I could put boobs on it.
Blink marquee boob.
Probably boobs
tags.
Wouldn't work. I could write a piece of software that was basically like Max Headroom, except instead of Matt Frewer, it was Peter Falk, who would just tell you.
One of his eyes would be just wandering.
Yeah. And jumping around left and right. There'd be a weird shifting Pepsi commercial.
Smoke would come out of your disk drive slot. Because computers still have those.
Max Headroom ruled. Anyway, we got to write another fucking map by like two weeks from now? 3 weeks from now? Jesus Christ.
There's one that's almost, that's like got everything spindled and stuff.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be pretty simple.
Yeah. It is. It's cool, though. It's cool. And there's a lot that I can do fairly quickly, I think. I just don't want to. I was so excited about it. I guess I kind of still am. I don't know. I don't even know anymore. My fucking brain is just fried from Meteoid. It's seriously like I lost all my thinks from
having
video
a really
gaming.
Hard time getting my body to adjust to this time zone.
Yeah, it's because you're not.
I've not been able to sleep past 5 a.m. any day since I got back.
That's
yet.
Because you have not forced yourself to stay up late.
I've been
what you do?
I
go
have
out.
Been trying so hard.
Go out and get drunk.
I was up till like 11 last night.
Oh man, 11. Get drunk, stay up until like 4. And then go to sleep, and then you'll be fine. It worked for me. It's my patented hangover cure. My patented hangover cure is to get a hangover. No, I meant my patented jet lag cure.
Oh, I see.
Which is to get a hangover.
Huh. Could you cure hangovers with jet lag?
Because
that would be kind of a vicious cycle.
Yeah. You'd have to move around a lot. That would get kind of expensive.
Well,
and terrifying. I would just never sleep at all. I think if I ever decided that I wanted to stay awake for the rest of my life, all I would have to do would be to arrange
stay
to be
on
flying
a plane.
On an airplane for the rest of
Air
my
Force
life.
One.
Oh yeah, because they can refuel it in midair.
Yep. So speaking about Radiolab, I heard their episode about limits today, and they were talking about this bicycle race that happens, that is a cross-country bicycle race that takes place over approximately 10 days.
Are there fat-bottom girls in the bicycle race?
I don't know.
If so, are they the champions, my friend?
Yeah. Takes place over approximately 10 days, and the contestants basically do not sleep. Maybe 1 or 2 hours a day at most. And so, by the like fifth or sixth day, they are just like hallucinating, and it's kind of crazy. It sounds fascinating to me, the idea of just biking continuously until you have crossed the entire continent.
I don't know. That doesn't sound cool at all to me.
Really?
To ride a bicycle until you start hallucinating.
Yeah.
That does not sound fun, I think, to any right-thinking normal person.
I didn't say fun. I said fascinating.
Okay. I mean, I guess potentially the hallucinations themselves are fascinating.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's not the point. I mean, the idea that you can cross the country under your own power in like 10 days.
Right. That's how long do you think it would take you to walk? 6 weeks?
They're biking like 15 miles an hour. I think you could maybe walk...
Three,
if you're sort of at a reasonable pace.
Why does the Appalachian Trail take 6 months then? Is it rigorous? Well, and you're carrying gear.
You're carrying gear, yeah. You're not making nearly as good. I think on an average day, you're probably making 10-15 miles, 10-20, depending on like what shape you're in. And like,
what if you
if you were doing the cross country thing, you'd have to have like a team like with right. food and
you'd
all
bring
your
in
stuff.
Food and water, or you could just rely on people to throw food and water at you. You could tell terrible jokes, and then you would have an endless supply of tomatoes.
Yeah. That's true.
So you could drink tomato juice. You could eat tomato...
Paste.
Tomatoes. Yeah. You could just eat, you know...
You could stick things together with tomato paste.
Yeah. You could, If you held the tomatoes in the sun for a while, you could eat hot tomatoes.
Or if you... For sun, longer, sun-dried tomatoes, yeah.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. You could make frozen tomatoes if you did it in the winter.
Yeah. You could juggle to keep yourself occupied.
Yeah, that's true. To keep your
feed your brain.
Yeah, you could feed your brain. You could feed your brain with that activity.
There's an activity where you juggle and run at the same time.
Is it called rungling?
Joggling.
Joggling. Yeah. I figured it had a stupid name. As soon as you told me about that, I thought, you know, I bet that's the kind of thing that has some cute, stupid, bullshit name attached to it.
But I also that was also the frame under which I was telling you the story. That's not a story, I guess. Telling you the information. Imparting the information.
Cool story, bro.
Yeah.
Hasbro. What else is in this thread?
Posts by people.
Bazooka says, can we have Halloween adventures for the other items that change avatars, like the passable elf mask, the stuffed crazy bastard sword, and stuffed crazy bastard sword?
Yeah, if you've got the stuffed crazy bastard and sword and the stuffed martini.
Yeah, you get a little
oh
sword martini guy.
Oh, that's clever of us.
It was your idea.
Huh?
It was your idea.
It was?
Yes.
Oh. Cool, I'm so clever, I don't even remember how clever I am.
It's weird, because you're normally the one with the good memory, so it's funny that you don't
not
remember.
Not for stuff that I do, though. I see, like, okay, so I do have a good memory, but only for things that I value, and I don't value my own work.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Huh.
What's this game called? no, I don't think that we need Halloween encounters.
Yeah, it really is just for things that are specifically outfits. And not custom outfits.
The champion wrote, are there any plans for more contest puzzles like Jacking's Lab? Not necessarily for a real-life prize. In the near future?
Contest puzzles.
I don't know. You know, like, I guess we've kind of done stuff like that in the past. Like, the Rainbow Pearls were sort of like that.
Yeah, I mean, so there was there's that. Then we've had puzzle contests and stuff that were sort of unofficial.
That's true. You did your little thing.
Yeah.
your little thing that people finally found and exploited and got their got their crazy trophies. That's gone now, right? You can't get those things anymore?
That is true. I've been thinking about the next one.
Oh yeah.
I came up with a really cool idea for a puzzle, but I think it's too hard for that.
You think it's too hard for our user base, who, as Riff likes to constantly point out, is super stupid.
No, I mean, I think that people could solve it, but I think it's not the right kind of scope. It's for me to I would need to learn some programming to construct the puzzle.
Maybe you should learn some programming. Maybe if you learn some programming, you could finally carry your weight around here, dude.
No, I don't think I could.
You can read you know enough programming to read my code.
Yeah, I mean, I can.
You can figure out what's wrong with
when
space
I was
trip,
a kid.
Fix
I
some shit in space trip.
I programmed in BASIC. I learned some Pascal when I was a kid, and then in college I learned Scheme.
See, for those younger listeners, Pascal was a computer language that back in the day.
I really bitter that I learned Pascal instead of C, because C would have been 1,000 times more useful to me.
Did they teach Pascal in your high school?
No. This is all on my own. I never had any education
in my high school, but
college.
I didn't take it for something. Like, I don't know why. I didn't take any of the computer courses at my high school except CAD.
That's weird.
CAD, what the fuck was I thinking?
I don't know.
They taught us ADA at my high school.
Yeah, really? They wanted you to be defense contractors.
And to have enough knowledge to take care of your cat when you're gone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of defense, I watched The Karate Kid yesterday. Or was that yesterday? No, that was the day before yesterday.
How do you feel about them doing a remake?
I just don't care, and I'm going to ignore it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not going to go see a fucking Karate Kid movie.
No, not in that theater, but like, it might be cool.
You watch everything.
Yeah.
You don't have any
But
quality.
It's Jackie Chan.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan and
isn't it like
Will Smith's kid.
Will Smith's daughter.
I think it's his son.
Wait, really?
I think so.
Because I was under the impression that it was being remade and it was like a little girl.
I think it's his son. I think it's Jaden or Jada Smith or whatever.
Jaden Smith.
I think that's his name.
Braden.
I forget.
Gramden.
I could be wrong. Maybe it is. Maybe if does he? I don't know. Does he have a daughter? I don't know anything about
these
people.
Dude, I don't know. I don't know anything about it either.
Yeah.
Cloud Strife says, "Why can't we meet the developers in Valhalla? Seems like a good place to stick yourselves." Hey, listen, I'll figure out where to stick myself on my own. Thanks, Cloud Strife. You know,
but we're not
dead. I accidentally wrote the Uncle Jake's Brownie Mix, and I kind of regret it. It wasn't an accident. I did it on purpose. There were a lot of
spaghetti
things
with
done.
Skullheads and Uncle Jake's Brownie Mix.
I know.
You don't like those?
I wouldn't do that now.
Really?
I look back on a lot of the early decisions that I made when the tone hadn't really been decided on, and then I'm experiencing one of those moments like that guy in that movie, Dave Gorman, who
Google Whack Adventures.
Yeah. So, but he talked about experiencing a moment. He turned 30, grew a beard, and started taking himself really seriously. I think that's happening to me. I think I've genuinely started to care about the craft of what I'm doing, and I'm going to refer to it as the craft of designing video games, and make a bunch of pretentious statements about it. And you know, I want my work to be taken seriously. It never used to bother me when somebody was like, "Oh, it's a goofy stick figure game." Now I'm like, fuck you, man. It is so much more than stick figures. Fuck you! That's what I say. I say that to them, to their face. Every time anybody says the word stick figure anywhere near me, I just start screaming obscenities at
them. I think you should have a conference for everyone named Jick. Just get them all in the same place.
Get them all in the same place?
Yeah.
So that I would just have a solo conference?
No. Well, I was
so that all of you can band together to get the goddamn out of the
I get it. It was a Dave Gorman joke.
Yes.
I understand it now. Right, yeah. Because there were a lot of Dave Gormans.
Yeah.
Drunk Betts making movies. I wonder how he's doing.
Yeah, I
do. Do you think he has any money? Do you think he's found true love? Do you think he has children? And that they are all named Dave Gorman, like George like George Foreman's kids? He thought that not only would his kids rhyme with George Foreman's kids, but what they would also have in common is that they all had his name.
That would be pretty awesome.
It'd be weird if Dave Gorman named all his kids George Foreman.
It would be. And then George Foreman found out about it, thought it was funny, and had a few more kids and named them Dave Gorman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking about naming my firstborn son Orville Redenbacher. I started thinking about that just now.
Well, maybe you could get some free popcorn out of the deal.
That's probably true, yeah. Like would, that, would you that town that changed his name to Google.
Would you train him to call you Pop Secret?
Yes, that would be his nickname for me.
Pop Secret.
Well, really, because it would be a kid that I had with the neighbor's wife, so I would be his Pop Secret.
Yeah. Secret Pop?
I'd have to tell him. You know, I still think that just one of the finest gags on any television show ever is the Arrested Development gag whereby the father's identical twin brother is the actual father of one of his sons.
Yeah.
Because I think that points out, so, like, it's funny, right, to me, because I'm not particularly big on, like, the sanctity or specialness of human life, you know? It's like, I honestly, you know, doesn't really matter. Having, your father's identical twin secretly be your father, identical, it's exactly the same, doesn't make any difference at all. It's like a big deal, though, right? It's, oh, my father's not my father. That's like a big deal. That apparently afflicts 30% of American dudes. What the fuck is that all about?
What?
And where are all these women?
I mean...
Wait, no, seriously, like... I would not mind having hundreds of offspring, right?
Because I definitely remember...
If 30% of people are not being raised by the person that they think is their father, where are all of these women that I could be impregnating with no consequences?
Where did you hear that statistic?
I heard it a long time ago, and I don't remember.
I read something like 10%. I think.
Oh, I thought it was higher than that.
I know. You told me that you saw 30%. I feel like the idea that 30% of people are of like dubious parental provenance is, I have a hard time believing that.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, because it's like I know a handful of people about whom that's true. You know, I know of a handful of people about whom that's true.
Those are just the ones that you know about, right? Like, I feel like there's probably a ton that are surreptitious, you know?
You think?
Why not?
I mean, people look enough like their offspring.
But that in a lot the of mother is always known, right? So that's,
no,
that's
not
half
necessarily.
The...
I see, that's a joke.
Yeah.
Are you sure it's yours?
Yeah.
You say, to a woman, because yes.
Well, there's babies getting switched in
the hospital.
Yeah.
Sometimes they get switched before the like there's like the
before the hospital.
Yeah, like there's this cat burglar that specializes in replacing unborn children with other unborn children, and then stealing the silver
and the breath from the other kids.
Yeah, yeah. He's a little bitty.
I keep thinking of it as the cat being the villain in that, but the cat was the hero.
Yeah, because it was the little gnome guy with the curvy sword.
Yeah,
that was trying to steal the kid's breath.
Yeah. What was that? Fantastic Adventures or the?
No, it was Cat's Eye. You're thinking of it as being like Amazing Stories.
I'm thinking
right?
of being Amazing
but
Stories, but
Cat's
it's not.
Eye was a movie that was like four or five little connected vignettes.
Was it?
At least one of which was based on a Stephen King story.
Okay.
Where a guy, actually, a lot of them, maybe they were all based on Stephen King stories because I know at least two of them were. There was the Quit Smoking by We Torture Your Family.
Oh yeah! Wow.
Method.
Okay,
right.
I want to watch that again.
Yeah,
actually.
No, it was pretty good, but it very much was like a movie that was several episodes of The Twilight Zone, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
But cool.
So that one I know was based on a Stephen King story. The one where the mobster makes the guy walk all the way around the ledge of the building, just to kind of torture him, was also a Stephen King story.
Okay,
but I don't know the one with the little gremlin thing. I don't know, and that cat was sort of a common element in all of them.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Hadn't thought about that in a while.
Do those kinds of shows get made anymore, the Amazing Story kind of stuff?
I feel like somebody tried to do... I feel like they tried to redo The Twilight Zone.
There was definitely...
Or something like,
like
that, like very recently.
Or
like,
an Outer Limits remake or something.
Yeah, the Outer Limits, like less than 10 years ago. Very yeah. recently. It was probably 7 years ago. Fuck happened to us, man.
I mean, I wonder... I guess, I mean, they remade V... Which I guess people are watching.
Yeah, it was weird. There were a bunch of like normal adults at the hostel discussing V.
Normal adults.
They weren't nerds.
They were Australians.
That's what I'm saying. They were Australians. I guess all Australians are boomerang nerds. Well, I mean, you know, you have to figure out the angle
right.
to throw it at, so you need some physics.
You need to figure out their angle.
So all Australians are... No, anyway, these were, like, normal adults. These were, like, regular people. These were not like, you know, like comic shop grognards and Linux neckbeard dudes, right? These were, like, normal people with real jobs and, like, real jobs. I don't know. Okay. I feel like the one guy just had a job, like, fucking 19-year-old backpackers for 20 years until
I guess we're bleeding into our planned
anyway talking about V and like wondering what was going on with the character, like, oh man, do you think that he's gonna defect to the fourth pillar or whatever, like
fifth column
that's the fourth pillar story. Is he going to defect to story? Because that's the fourth pillar. I think that's actually the third pillar. I don't know what the fourth pillar is. If we figure it out, we're going to make the most successful MMO ever.
Oh, you're not talking about Islam.
Dude, I don't know.
Okay. Really confused.
Moon and star. Carved into the door of an outhouse in a Johnny Hart's BC comic. That is what I think of when I hear the word Islam. Yeah. What the fuck? So, there was an episode. What do you call an individual unit of BC by Johnny Hart?
A strip.
A strip?
Yeah.
Would you say it's a strip of BC? Is a strip of beef jerky?
I would say a BC strip.
A BC strip. Yes. There was a BC strip that was like, it said something about Islam, and then there was an outhouse with a moon and a star cut out of the door, and it was like this
That's
thing where it's like,
funny.
Oh, Johnny Hart's making fun of Muslims by comparing their religion to a toilet, or, you know, and it was like, well, I know Johnny Hart is an asshole, so, like, part of me wants to be like, oh yeah, that asshole sure is being an asshole, but part
it's
of me...
It's kind
is,
of
like,
observational.
I was like, shut up.
Right, like, that's kind of, like, because that symbol is on a lot of, like, sort of the... Platonic ideal of the outhouse or whatever.
But not with the star. The moon is cut out of it, but not
is
with
it?
The star.
Oh,
yeah, and that was
okay.
That was the thing. I mean, I think he was playing off of that and using it to, like, say some, you know, like that guy with the pickup truck, everything I need to know about Islam I learned on September 11th.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just kick that guy in the truck
yeah,
balls.
Where do we get... Man, wouldn't it be great if that would disable the truck that it was attached to?
It just falls
like,
over on its
were,
side
yeah,
and
if
curls
you were,
up.
If you were required by law, if you put a pair of those on your truck, you had to hook them up to, like, an engine kill switch that would just start... It would just start sputtering and, like, maybe some gas would spray out the tailpipe. And, yeah... And then, yeah, you just couldn't... Then you could drive really slow for, like, a few blocks, and then finally you'd get back to normal. Yeah. I'm going to lobby for that. You know, I was going to lobby to just make them illegal because they're obscene, but I'm okay with them in that context. If it's actually, like, I am going to demonstrate my manliness
by putting
this weak point on display and just daring you, asshole behind me in your fucking fuel-efficient Prius, I dare you to come fuck with this truck. No, and then you do. And then he gets mad at you because it was like a cheap shot, so then all of his buddy trucks just crush you. they draw and quarter you with their trailer hitches.
Yeah.
I was almost going to have to abandon that joke because I couldn't think of the word trailer hitch. I guess that's two words. All I could think of was towing package. Well, a towing package is what you would add to your truck to add
if
a
you
trailer
rented,
hitch.
If you rented it from U-Haul.
Well,
thing, right?
but that's also, I mean, that's what you will, at the dealership, that's what you will, you know,
oh,
you want
oh,
it with
I
the
see.
Towing package, you know, which is like the sort of set of features, you know, like, say, wiring for a trailer.
Right.
Like a wiring harness for a trailer and a trailer hitch, and maybe a reinforced bumper, and maybe a stronger frame, or a more powerful engine. Who knows? Not me. I don't know, that's for sure. What were we talking about?
We were talking about Cat's Eye,
right, and then Islam.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time popping enough off the stack to get back to something that's at
we
all
listen,
related.
We should listen to the show. We should take a music break
and listen to
the recording of the show and figure out what the fuck we were talking about.
We could just go back to answering questions.
Yeah, I thought we were though.
Developers. In Valhalla is how we got there.
Valiant says, can you give access to the mall feed to somebody other than Coldfront? Whoever's in charge of the marketplace has been less than attentive to its maintenance, and I'm sure there's someone in the community who would like to get a stab at managing such a thing. So here's a problem with that kind of thing. That makes me a little nervous to know that, like, I think Coldfront basically hasn't had a KOL person on staff for quite a while. Forgive me if I'm hurting somebody's feelings by saying this, but I'm not sure that they replaced Clackling when he stopped being their KOL coordinator. And I'm a little nervous about the fate of the wiki. Like, not because... Well, I don't know. What I'm afraid of is it disappearing and us not being able to get access to it. Right? Like, I don't even know who to talk to about it right now. I would almost be willing to host it and just...
That's a weird thing, right? Because...
It is a weird thing. I mean,
We don't want spoilers as part of the game, but at the same time, we don't want that resource to disappear.
Right. I mean,
Jeez,
the thing about it...
We couldn't do our jobs without that.
No, I know. We couldn't do our jobs without it. And it's also... It is this sort of, like, rich, very easily browsable, interface to the game content.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, it's a really cool thing. And, I mean, I don't know if they... Like, I'm sure they're getting some advertising revenue, so I wouldn't think that they'd want to just get rid of it. But what I would like is some assurance that if it was going to shut down, right, if KOL Coldfront was just going to go away, because I have no idea. I have no idea what the situation is with it, right? Like, I mean, I never...
There are still news stories and stuff. Yeah. I don't think clearly
there are volunteers working on it, but, like, Coldfront is a for-profit thing, right? So, I mean, yeah, I don't know enough about it. I mean, I wonder if there are other because they were like basically trying to be like a Stratix or an Alakazam or whatever, and I don't know if they succeeded. I don't know if they are a go-to source for any other games, right? Because I think there's like a City of Heroes branch of it and that kind of thing. Yeah, but I just don't know.
I don't either.
It would be nice if somebody would give me a heads up. Although in the past, I have always just basically ignored. Mostly by accident, all of the contact that they've tried to make with me. I don't know. I would give access to that data to somebody else if I trusted them to do it, but the number of people who will tell you that you can trust them to do it and the number of people that you can trust to do it are different numbers. And it's not because there are more people that you can trust than tell you. Scully did that contest, I think, to become the, like, official pop culture reference repository site. So, you know who I would give it to? Is the Garden of Earthly Delights. If they were willing to do it.
The clan?
Whatever. Yeah. Is it a clan? Was that Gamelli's deal?
I think it's Gamelli's, yeah.
Yeah. Like, the people that do the well-tempered bibliophile.
That was... Yeah, I don't remember who does that.
I thought it was Gamelli. I thought that Gamelli was like...
He wasn't the one that did the well-tempered thing, was he?
I thought he was.
Oh.
I mean, it is... The Garden of Earthly Delights is the clan. I don't know if Gamelli's in that clan. I don't know what clan Gamelli's in. Anyway, those people... Which, maybe they do Pop Goes the Loathing, too. Right? But, like, they seem to, you know, have hosted this shit for, like, a few years. Right? So, I mean, if somebody from there wanted to take a crack at doing something with the mall data... Because I would really like to be able to look at that, but it was always... Even when it was working right on Coldfront, the information was never presented in a way that was useful to me. Right? Like, tracking inflation of Mr. A's across a year, for instance, was, like, not a view that you could get to, even though I'm sure the data was in there. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like what I've been hearing for the last... actually, like, couple of years is grumbling that Coldfront's marketplace is just not working as well. It's not working. It is not working consistently enough to be useful. And it has to be consistent in order to be useful.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. Anybody listening? If it's Gamelli, that'd be funny. Because, hey, Gamelli, do some more work for us for free. That's what I say. Istaria Suka says, what's the progress on the level 11 revamp that Riff mostly you guys have mentioned in the past? It is not a revamp. It is a bunch of little tweaks.
Yeah.
They will probably actually make you happy. It's some alternate paths through things.
The yellow ray has kind of killed the one that I thought was most interesting.
The hook thing?
Yeah.
Has it, though? Because I thought that stuff came from so many different places that you could...
Yeah, but there's...
But it was supposed to be low.
They are places that people no longer spend more than a turn in because they've got yellow rays.
Oh. Well, fuck, sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to ruin all your shit without even trying. Hey, I still remember where I was sitting when we designed the HeBoulder.
Where were you sitting?
Cafe Chloe in San Diego. You know what I'm going back to in like a fucking week is Cafe Chloe in San Diego, where I'm eating breakfast every day for the entire month of July. Nah, that's probably not true. Although, if it was within walking distance of the place that I was going, I'd go there for my coffee and a delicious French breakfast. French breakfast sounds like one of those sex acts that you read about on Urban Dictionary.
If you couldn't before, I'm sure you will be able to after this gets posted to the archive.
Anyway, it's just a series of tweaks, and some of them are not like completely designed, or are they all?
I mean, they're all
conceptually
designed. They're all designed in as far as like to the point where something needs to be coded so that we can look at it and tweak it until it's right.
Okay. The Gap in the Plot says, what are your favorite recent forum threads? I have not actually been reading the forums very regularly for the last month or so. Been just balls deep in item of the month stuff at any point when I wasn't away from a computer. Basically, Jesus Christ, this was a lot of work.
Yeah.
Next item of the month, July, is a seal clubbing club.
I thought it was going to be a hat.
We actually figured out what July's item of the month is going to be. I meant to make it today, but then I just fucking worked on Medioid because my fucking brain didn't work. Everything that I did today took five times as long as it should have.
And you kept fucking it up?
I did kept fucking it up.
So you were like a sim?
Yeah, I was like a sim.
Wait, but that's... I mean, wait. That
and then
can't
I accidentally burned the house down when I was cooking breakfast.
Yeah, because they like you get pregnant and have babies in like 15 minutes.
Is that not how it works?
No, I mean, but by Riff's math, that would mean that in real life it only took 3 minutes.
I think it's... But I mean, it takes you most of the day just to walk across the house.
What? Oh, most of the... in-game day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Filmmaster Plus says, could you please give more detail on what the extra long rollover was all about? Yes, earlier in
Done.
The show. Is there a particular skill class or skill synergy mechanic that you believe is particularly well-designed or ingenious? I don't believe that any of the fundamental things about KOL are well-designed. I believe there are a lot of a bunch of kind of fun accidents mixed with a bunch of cute pictures and decent jokes. That was this perfect storm. I've been using that phrase a lot. Perfect storm. It's been a perfect storm of circumstances that led me to decide that was a good idea. Can Mr. Scully...
As long as you don't refer to something as throwing something else under the bus.
Yeah, you don't like things being
thrown
under the bus.
I've started to hate that one, yeah.
As long as I don't toot my own vuvuzela. Mr. Skullhead was all pissed off about all the vuvuzela shit everywhere. As pissed off as I was about the double down shit everywhere. It's not cool. It's not cool. It's not funny enough to not ever shut up about internet. Get back to doing funny stuff like you did when I was young. All your base are belong to us, internet. You're not producing quality material like that anymore. Get on it. There's young people playing KOL. Get out there and make some cool shit so there's some cool shit on the internet for me to see. I'm getting bored. Can Mr. Skullhead please show me photos of his toddler, says Filmmaster Plus. You have to ask that on the next radio show thread. Neminem says, two things. One, this is an excellent concept and I approve of it greatly. I think he means this
forum
thread. Which it's filling up the entire 2 hours. I haven't even gotten
Well, we didn't start taking questions until hour two, anyway.
Yeah, sort of. Two, says Neminem, what would you think about the concept of Rainbow Pearl crafted items being restorable to their original state, but at the cost of some expensive reagent that would be consumed every time you did so? It could be a fun meat sink. It always seems sad how those items are fun, but nobody's willing to actually use them because it'd be like smashing a Stradivarius or something. Yeah, we've been tossing around for a long time the idea of having the jewelry pulverized back into the pearls. And the reason that I don't want to do it is because I think that what would happen is it would create significant potential for, like, rental scams. But I should probably do it anyway. let's see. You know what? This forum thread thing makes it really obvious which questions we skip. I hadn't thought about that. It's going to be different. That's like fun. Like skipping Stupak 2's question about the large box change, because I don't want to get into that again. I had basically stopped thinking about the Dungeons of Doom completely Anyway. NFR says, when will the BlackBerry or Papaya be made upgradable in the still and recipes added that will make use of whatever they would upgrade into? I don't think we plan on
they
adding anything
part
else
of the yeah. set of things that we put in there.
Yeah, the still was basically about the sort of like central, not balanced necessarily, but the central like sort of symmetrically designed booze crafting
yeah,
system.
Yeah, pretty much all the flavor stuff was left out of that whole stuff.
Yeah. Inaudible Yelling says, are we going to see any cool random events, i.e. floaties, this year? This is cool. Everybody loved that. Scully asked that the other day in chat. He was like, so are we going to do an event this year for July, or have we learned our lesson? And I said to him, the only lesson that I think needed to be learned there was no long-term Ascension impactful events that you can't opt out of. I bet we can come up with something cool to do. I like doing events. I don't know why we don't do more of them.
Because we're constantly spending all of our time doing other shit.
Oh, right. Because there's only so many times in a day.
Yeah.
Levito says, can the Super Sweet Boombox be fixed so that it gives the fourth song slot? Yeah, I keep meaning to tell Chris to fix that. All right. So let's call it done with this radio thread, unless there's been something posted since I... Stupak says that the truck nut engine kill switch is the best idea ever. Renegade Yoshi says, could there be like an event or holiday where you can earn 2 filthy lucre a day?
No. Well, maybe, but no. Probably not.
Wow. Was that actually on Urban Dictionary, or did that just get put there?
What was?
What?
French breakfast. if that guy just made that up,
What is the definition as on?
I'm not going to read it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, it starts with a poached egg is placed into the anus. Yeah, I don't know if that was real or not. Anyway, Urban Dictionary's primary definition is to skip eating breakfast entirely and just have coffee and a cigarette.
That's funny.
There were many, many years when breakfast for me was a can of Coke and a cigarette. Those were good years.
Huh.
Back when I was young and invincible.
Back when you used to fuck a lot of cans of Coke.
Yeah. Okay, so you put a poached egg in a can of Coke and then fuck it.
That's and then you both smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, and then you both smoke, you share a cigarette.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so Twitter questions. There are
some.
A number. Soren Trigg says, sending this again in case you do not read twats from a day ago, drunk show is 226 of 09. Ignore this if you read my prior message. Oh, that was a long time ago. You can listen to yourself passing out.
I have listened to myself passing out.
Paul BD says, what is your opinion of the IMDb top 250 movies list? 250 is too many items for a list, I think, is my opinion.
It's weird what's on there. And how many of them I think are bad movies.
Is Transformers Revenge of the Fallen or whatever?
I don't know. It depends on what, like, the top 250s, I think, are the 250 most requested ones. They're not necessarily the, like, the ones that are rated the highest. In which, maybe there is a highest rated one.
Is Freddy Got Fingered on there?
I don't know. It's not.
God damn it.
But yeah, like, I have seen almost all of them. There's probably 20 out of the 250 that I've not
like
seen.
You're like movie watching, dude.
I like
all you ever do
movies.
Is watch a movie. Xtanstic says, hey guys, just wanted to say that I hope this show is good because I'm driving home next weekend, so that's 2 7-hour drives I'm saving podcasts for. If you make me fall asleep, my death is on you.
That's sad.
Xtanstic.
You could sing a little lullaby.
Xtanstic.
Oh, are you just going to freak him out?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good way to keep him awake.
Turn left, Extensic, turn left! Data Vortex says, any interesting developments with KOLCon besides political infection in the thread? Any new LARP stuff? I know plenty was left over. No, we need to figure out when we're hauling Nightmare's fat gay ass out here to help do LARP stuff.
My plan was to try to convince him to fly in at the same time that we fly in.
Oh yeah? Same airplane?
Well, maybe. He was thinking about maybe going down to DragonCon.
Oh. Well, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Do we have flights for DragonCon?
Yeah.
it. All right, man, you're on top of shit.
Yeah.
Do we have anything to talk about? Data Vortex also says, can you talk a little bit more about your plans for Dragon Con? Plans are starting to fall into place. Panel, hotel, agenda, meetups. I can't talk about our plans for Dragon Con because I don't have any plans for Dragon
Con.
We
are flying in, and then we are attending Dragon Con, and apparently there's some sort of panel that we are also attending that we do not have specific plans for at this point.
Right. We're going to do Q&A.
We'll talk for like 15, 20 minutes, and then...
Really? What would we talk about? I can't talk for 15 minutes.
What it's like to have a...
What it's like having a Roni?
Indie game.
Did you ever hear the Vanilla Ice song? No. What it's like having a Roni?
No.
Yeah. I don't even know what a Roni is. I never found out.
It's some sort of San Francisco treat, I thought.
Yeah. Data Vortex says, also, did last night's experience with the outage cause you to reconsider your approach toward full front-end failover or redundancy? No, because my approach is still to not know what any of those words mean.
I know what redundancy means.
Well, sure.
Full front-end failover sounds like something that does not really exist.
A full front-end failover seems like a really bad high dive trick.
That's just what I was thinking.
Yeah, like I did a triple sow cow and a full front end failover.
I don't think that what we were doing would have been prevented by any of the things that you're mentioning, even though I don't know what they are.
That's probably true. In that you'd believe in a deterministic universe.
We were attempting to change the fundamental nature
of reality.
Of the database, which is our reality, and I don't know that there's any way that we could have successfully done that and had the game up and in a meaningful way when something goes wrong.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
The problem, you know, we could have done we were discussing today ways to make this table transition without taking the game down, but it's just a big pain in the ass. And that
it's less of a pain in the ass than the game being down for 8 hours.
It is less than a pain in the ass than that, right? Because it is potentially a thing that... So, like, to me, not being able to play KOL for 8 hours and then being able to play KOL for 16 hours with all your shit reliably in the right place is better than logging on and finding out that because of some weird shit that we're doing where we're trying to transition from stuff from one table to another while things are working, like, oh, all my quests reset. And now none of my shit makes any sense. Hey, but I was totally able to play all day because there was no maintenance downtime. Like, that...
Sure.
That is, you know, what we want to avoid. You know, I feel like when we're old, we're going to look at the computer technology that exists and think, man, if only we had had this when we were doing KOL, it would have been so fast, so reliable. We could have, like... just snapped our fingers and the transition from MyISM to NODB would have been done, except it'll be like from Space MyISM to Galaxy NODB.
some sort of hologram distorted
cubic zirconium buckyballs.
There was
solution.
What was that thing that I was talking to you about, like a DVD that holds
80 terabytes or something
like that? Yeah that's nuts.
I am in a DVD that holds up like a bottle of beer. I once was forced to buy a copy of the DVD of Just Married with Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, is that the one you got like the Ghostbusters set or something?
It wasn't
like
Ghostbusters, I think it was Office Space. It was for $10, it was a DVD of Office Space packaged with a DVD of Just Married.
I see.
So I had to just throw it away.
Oh, you got the first and second Ghostbusters and you threw away the second Ghostbusters.
Yeah. That's true.
I know that there was a similar story involving Ghostbusters.
Yeah, no, you were right. Oh, shit.
What's up?
Hey, cool.
Have we not been broadcasting for like
an hour? We have. Rollover, the no database portion of Rollover happened at 10 minutes after Rollover started. So, it's moving along.
Huh.
Moving along. I gotta pay attention to when the game comes back up because, Traveling Trader.
What?
I can say it now.
Spoilers!
Nobody can do anything about it. The game's down.
Spoilers.
I know. Spoilers. Announcing it now would just piss people off.
Oh, because CDM did not do the announcement.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he wasn't going to do that today. He's got too much other shit to do. So that was actually all the Twitter questions, which is cool. Now, Radio Bugs
Bear. It wasn't, you know, also, a motivated listener could also see which Twitter questions we do not answer.
I suppose that's true.
for that.
Boy, maybe a motivated listener could go get me some more whiskey.
That's going to be enough for
what?
You.
No, it's not. I can't live without the bottle.
That is a tall glass of whiskey.
No. I'm a tall glass of water. That's what a cowboy said of me. It was that cowboy that was just going around observing things about things. It was like the sort of non-singing cowboy Randy Newman.
The non-singing cowboy Randy Newman.
Yeah, he would just go around and say, I reckon that's a tall building.
And deep, too.
Goldust says, traitor, 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 traitor.
Wow, that's eerily prescient.
It's like a universe in which everyone is replaced with the traveling traitor, and that's all that he says. Traitor?
Yeah.
Malkovich?
I got your reference.
I wasn't doing it for you. I was doing it for the listeners. Some of whom are a little slow on the uptake, as Riff is so
fond of pointing out.
As Riff is so frequent to point out. I guess that's a sentence.
You frequent stores. Can you also...
Could you say that he is frequent to note the size of things?
I don't know.
Is that a sentence?
I mean, it is a sentence. I don't know if
not
it's
necessarily
correct.
Not every sequence of words is a sentence.
Sure it is.
No, it's not. No, I'm not having this argument with you.
Let's read the phone book again, shall we?
Yeah, Dick Horseshoe. Good old Dick Horseshoe. the people in the fucking Merrick was all like, oh crap, I forgot I can't come to con because San Francisco is boycotting Arizona. And then Scully was like, oh god. I was like, oh god, Scully said he's gonna post something in the forums, and I'm like, it was totally well reasoned. It was frustrating. I read some news story about how like the LA Police Department is like, oh wait a minute, if we continue this boycott of Arizona, we're going to lose all of this red light and speeding camera revenue. So they lobbied the state for an exception. They lobbied the city for an exception to the boycott because the company that runs all those cameras is Arizona-based.
That explains why there are so many of them here.
I guess, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But I'm, it's like... Ha ha ha! It's like all well and good to be all righteously indignant until it actually affects you in any way.
You
and
should
then where are your
listen
precious
to the
convictions?
Adam Carolla podcast that was a two-parter with Jib Jab.
Jib Jab.
I guess there's a website called Jib Jab. I hadn't never heard of it. You make e-cards where you put yourself into stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, the first half of it they weren't even in, and he talks about. The whole Arizona law thing. And basically has the same opinion that you do, which is it's weird that there are these laws that Arizona is trying to enforce and getting shit for it, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, he's pissed off that states other than, like, California even have an opinion about it, right? Because, like, Vermont should just shut up about... Because they're just not a border state with Mexico, right?
Right.
So, if Texas and California want to be pissed off, then maybe they have, a point. Because they also have, similar situations.
I mean, there's a number of reasons that I think all of the indignation... And, like, it bothers me. Like, I got an email from this girl that I know that was like, what's going on with all this crazy racist bullshit in Arizona? And I'm like, well, I mean, what's going on is that, like, times are tough and everybody needs a scapegoat, right? And for, like, unemployed people in Arizona, it's Mexicans. And for, like, internet liberals, it's fucking Arizona, right? Like, you just gotta have somebody somebody that personifies all the problems in your life. Because it's
I guess,
not,
yeah, Sarah Palin's kind of old news.
You can't be angry at a concept, right? But it's easy to be angry at a person. And, especially if it's like, oh, well, that person's from Arizona, they're different than me, so I'm going to be angry at them. Or, oh, that person is Mexican, they're different from me, so I'm going to be angry at them. Like, my take on it is, A, shut the fuck up, right? I mean, like, that's the main thing. Shut the fuck up about stuff that, like,
Adam's
Adam Cole's point, if you believe that democracy is a good idea, then you kind of have to shut the fuck up, right?
Like, Adam Cole's point was like, if you get pulled over in California or anywhere, what is the first fucking question the police officer asks you?
Right.
Can I see your ID?
Yeah.
This is not something that is new, right?
Yeah.
When I was a kid and was out late, cops would constantly come up to me and say, you know, can I see your ID or whatever?
Yep.
Right? So it's not, like, this is just not something that is novel.
I mean, my take on it was, all right, so if, and this is another thing that, like, frustrates me, that the just sort of, like, you know, hardcore liberal outrage at this. You believe, as a Democrat at least, that people should pay taxes.
Yeah.
Right? You believe that people should pay taxes. If an American citizen works and earns a wage and doesn't pay taxes, we can put them in jail. If an illegal alien works and doesn't pay taxes, we can't even deport them unless they also commit a different crime.
Wait, really?
And this was an attempt, because, like,
if there, I mean, if you say that, but the sentence illegal alien, everything after that shouldn't matter, because you should be able to deport
an
illegal alien.
Right, but that's the point. This is an attempt to rectify that, right? This is an attempt to make that,
I feel like,
to make the laws enforceable, like, in a way that makes some kind of sense.
I feel like you can deport an illegal alien, but I feel like the deportation is all handled at the federal level, and this was an attempt by the state to take some... I think that maybe that's where the issue is. It's like the state attempting to assert rights that right now the federal
government
has.
Right, but I mean, because they made it a state crime. They made something that was already a federal crime a state crime, right?
Yeah, or something. What is kind of bullshit is the, like...
I don't know if it's passed or not, but that if you're born of illegal immigrants in Arizona, you're not considered a U.S. citizen, because you can't do that. Like,
yeah, wow, that's weird.
I mean, that is just flat out, like, all right, you know, this thing that the Constitution says, okay, we're passing a law that says the opposite of that, which is, like, now it just makes me feel like they're just being smartasses, right? I mean, it's, like,
Is that something that actually is attempting to be put into law? Because that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Huh.
And I don't know if it's just denying state citizenship.
Is there such a thing as state citizenship?
Yeah.
There's residency.
Right? I mean, that's what I meant. No, I'm a dual citizen of the United States and Florida. I was issued this Florida passport when I turned 50. Anyway, I just, you know, democracy is a bad idea.
That's just the uptake
of
this?
No, democracy is a bad idea. The immigration law has popular support. Right? And Arnold fucking Schwarzenegger is the governor of California. Like, seriously, I can't see how anybody can stand in San Francisco and say that they think democracy is a good idea. That's just my take.
I mean, the state of California is being ruined by democracy because of the way that any proposition can be put on the ballot by any random asshole who wants to write it and can get what is it, 500 names on a petition for it.
Right.
And shit gets passed with no plans for how it's going to get paid for, and that is ruining California's economy.
Mm-hmm. And also, you're not allowed to...
I think the California budget deficit is greater than all other state deficits combined.
Well, but I mean, how large was their sort of, you know, state national product?
I mean, their budget is compared to a lot of states, but like not to every other state combined, right? Like, they're not over half of the U.S. economy is not California.
It is a little weird that all of the most vocal criticism of this stuff is coming out of California, because they are probably the most similar in terms of actually having problems with...
Well, San Diego and L.A., but I don't think it extends as far north, you know? I guess San Francisco has a significant Hispanic community, but it's not.
Yeah,
it's not sort of overwhelming the way that it is in LA, probably.
Yeah.
According to Jordan Jesse Go, they all like Morrissey.
Yeah. They do. No, that's fucking weird.
Is that a real thing?
Yes, it is a real thing. And what the fuck? Like, Morrissey is huge with like teenage Mexican gang members.
Weird.
It's fucking crazy. I remember seeing an article in the ASU newspaper about it, like, 10 years ago.
What about, like, Hasselhoff and Germans or whatever? I mean, like, you know, like, there's just strange cultural crossover things, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, Morrissey's good.
Ricky Martin and Americans.
Yeah, sure. Justin Bieber and 9-year-old girls. It was funny. Lycra made either a misstep or a funny joke. I'm assuming that it was a funny joke. It was a funny joke. All right, she says it was a funny joke. All right, we were talking about Metroid, and she was like, "Where do I type in Justin Bieber?" Which is funny.
That is pretty funny.
It's pretty funny. What was the other Metroid password? It was something about Nintendo of America.
There was one that had
sword in it.
Yeah. Because it was Narpa's, the end of
Narpa's sword. Nintendo or something. Password.
Password, yeah.
Yeah.
Narpa's sword, yeah.
Narpa's sword, yeah. Yeah, all right. That was fun and entertaining.
Yeah. Games.
Anyway, you know, vote for stuff. You can't convince people not to be racist. I think the only thing that you can do is not be racist and hang out with people's kids, and then their kids won't be racist. So, all you bleeding heart liberals, start hanging out with Hillbilly's kids, because they'll love that.
Something that, I mean, I keep sort of stepping on stuff that we could potentially talk about during our discussion of our European trip, but something that I found that was really interesting was, apparently, in Germany, it was basically just not culturally acceptable to display a German flag from the time of World War II until 2006.
Right, until the last World Cup.
Until the World Cup was in Germany.
Right, and so there were all these other people waving their country's flags all over the place, and then
it just didn't make any sense to do it.
It's fucking weird that there's no German flags. So then young people, all of whom were, you know, born well post-World War II, don't, I guess, feel the burden
of
national shame.
Yeah. And that was really fascinating to me, that, like, we've got so many sort of, like, hundreds of year old conflicts that are still kind of brewing. You know, like, the Balkan wars have been rooted in things that were, like, hundreds of years old, right?
Right.
But in the modern world, a single generation could theoretically pass, and we could kind of have gotten over something that's potentially even, you know, sort of more weighty, you know? And is this a trend for the future? Are we at a point where we can sort of really actually change cultural mores?
I mean,
within a lifespan,
I have sort of always believed that it's impossible to change them on purpose. And you know, people will tell me that I'm wrong. I mean, people will say that, like, you know, Martin Luther King single-handedly did a lot for race relations in the U.S. And I just don't know if I believe that. You know, they will say that like,
well, there was definitely a zeitgeist of wanting, you know, race relations to improve, and so he was the right person in the right time, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I guess, like, something is always going to catch on, right? I mean, it's like, I was thinking about this today. I was thinking about how, like, you know, Al Gore is never going to live down the "I invented the internet" thing. I don't even know what the original story was, right?
He said something very similar to that, but he also was extremely influential in the internet happening.
Right. Well,
like, he was one of probably 10 people that really actually made the internet happen. So I mean, like,
the Dan Quayle potatoes thing, right? Like, the shit that people remember. And so something like Rosa Parks, right? That's important, but there was no fucking way you could do anything like that on purpose.
Oh, sure.
You know,
sure,
that was
sure.
just like one person behaving
accidental.
Reasonably.
Yeah.
And you can always count on one person to behave reasonably, but what you can't count on is anybody being able to change anybody else's mind about anything. I mean, the kinds of people who are willing to change their minds about things because of rational discourse are not racists. They're not homophobes. They're not assholes. Because if they were assholes, they wouldn't be willing to change their mind about anything, because that's part of what being an asshole is. The problem with democracy is that assholes are everywhere. And if you let them make all of the decisions, all of your decisions are like the decisions an asshole would make. So
they'll all stink, and everybody will have one.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that, you know, I'm, like, very much siding with Scully in this, like, this boycott is not going to accomplish everything. It is not going to accomplish anything except, like, hurting individual people who probably didn't have anything to do with the decision-making process.
Well, I think you could probably extend that argument to most boycotts, right? Like, most embargoes, right, at least, because us embargoing Cuba
right.
just hurts
the citizens of Cuba, for whom Cuba being poor actually impacts them, as opposed to, like, you know,
yeah.
the and mansion dictatorships.
Yeah, you know, and, like, the, you know, embargoes or boycotts of Iraq or Iran, you know, like, those, that contributes to those countries' sort of a hatred of the United States, you know, like, I don't know. It's complicated and frustrating, and also...
By and large, I am against announcing things, right?
Instead of just doing them?
Yeah, just do stuff. Just do what you think is right, and everything will be okay, right? Do what you think is right, and your life will probably turn out okay. Don't say, I'm going to change the world, because if you say you're going to change the world, you are almost certainly not going to change the world. Don't say, I'm going to be a famous actor, because if you say, I'm going to be a famous actor, instead of being in a play right now because you're actually a fucking actor, you're not going to be a famous actor. You know, if you constantly talk about writing a novel, you're not writing a fucking novel because you're too busy talking about it. And it's kind of the same thing with political activism. Like, you know, go out and try to change people's minds by, like, being nice to them, right? Don't like, just announce that you're not buying anything that was made in Arizona. I mean, I don't think it's going to work, changing their minds, being nice to them. But just go out and be a good person, and maybe somebody will see you and think, hey, I want to be like that guy instead of being like my asshole racist dad. And then they won't be an asshole racist when they grow up. Yeah. All right. So, that's video games. And we'll see you Monday. I don't know what the fuck Scully and I are going to talk about on Monday. This is our normal fare.
See, the Wire found a
playable NES
playable
Metroid
NES
online.
Metroid online.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's sweet.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like it would have been hard to play Metroid on a computer, right? Not for us. Not for us.
Emulators.
We know things. We know stuff about video games and things. All right. Anything you want to tell people before? Is Rollover over? Yep, wow, Rollover is over.
Good.
And it was quick. How long did it take? Let's see how long it took. And announce it on the air. Let's see, where's that script? Daily script progress.
Do you still get a daily email?
24 minutes, 28 seconds. So that's faster.
What is it normally?
It was 35 or 40 every time. It was usually like 10 after 9.
Okay.
That just started coming. The game is probably really peppy now because people aren't expecting it to be up, so there aren't nearly as many people trying to log in. That'll end pretty quick.
Yeah.
Tomorrow they will realize. We should announce the trader.
You should do that.
Yeah, I should. I should get off the radio first, though.
Okay.
Did I get a song ready? I did. All right, good night, everybody.
Have a good weekend, everybody. Same as it ever was.